This is the Mosaic Church Podcast. Mosaic Church is committed to making disciples that discover Christ, connect in Christian community, and serve others and the world.
So what is Christmas really about? It's a reminder for us, as you know, one of the things about Christmas is that, you know, the story, all of you know the story. Typically, all of you already know the story. You know, am I going to be able to extrapolate something so new that you've never heard of it? Possibly, but probably not, because we were just so inundated, and we've grown up in Christianity, and we know the story. But I might remind you of the story, something you already knew, but you forgot. You know, kind of like my friend asking me to remember something that I had forgotten, and then it triggers some thoughts, and then I remember it again. And I pray that this is not some boring story for you, but you actually say, God, help me to get something that I didn't see before. Too many of us only know about Christmas from television. You know, I remember back in the day when it was like they would announce on commercial, like Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer was going to come on television on Sunday night. And so that was like, wow, you know, couldn't just get it at any time you wanted. And I'm so old that you couldn't even record it. You know, there was no VHS at the time. We had to watch it when it was being shown with commercials and all. So a lot of the stuff that we've learned, maybe you've learned, is from television or some Christmas play or an old Christmas story of a book. Some people learn from watching Elf. I found out that my grandkids don't like Polar Express. That is it's a little different kind of. And so we kind of learn our Christmas stories really maybe from culture. And we might miss out some things. And so let's find out what the Bible has to say about Jesus. So my title of this sermon is, What Child Is This? Matthew 1, I'm not going to read the whole chapter, but if you please turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 1. And it says here in verse 1, this is the genealogy of Jesus, the Messiah. Jesus, you remember last week we learned, Jesus means come and save us. The Messiah, the son of David and the son of Abraham. And it goes on, I'll read a few verses. Abraham was the father of Isaac, Isaac the father of Jacob, Jacob the father of Judah and his brothers, Judah the father of Perez and Zerah, and whose mother was Tamar, Perez the father of Hezron, Hezron the father of Ram, Ram the father of Abinadab, Abinadab the father of Nahshon, Nahshon the father of Salmon. And it goes on and talks about Solomon, the father of Rehoboam, Rehoboam, the father of Abijah, Abijah, the father of Asa, Asa, the father of Jehoshaphat. And then it goes on and on, Uzziah, the father of Jotham. And it goes on in verse 12, after the exile of Babylon, Jeconiah was the father of Shealtiel. And it goes down to verse 15, Elihud, the father of Eleazar, Eleazar, the father of Mathan, Mathan, the father of Jacob. And then we get to 17. These were the 14 generations in all from Abraham to David, 14 from David to the exile to Babylon, and 14 from the exile to the Messiah. What can we learn about reading this genealogy? Right off, what I get out of it, and I pray that you get out of it, is that immediately in verse 18, it says in Matthew 1, this is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. And so reading this genealogy, listening to it, you might think this is kind of tedious. Why is it on there? I believe it's saying and it's stating the truth. And there's no doubt that Jesus was a man. He was born in this family line. He really did live. Some people say he didn't live, but the historical facts show that Jesus did live. And I believe that genealogy is to let us know this is a real person. It's not a made-up person. It's not a figure of somebody's imagination. It's not some nice story. And so after reading the verses, there's, I don't know what more you could say. We could go back and see his family line. Now, the story gets a bit different, and we know that the man Jesus was a man, but he wasn't born with a man, a father, and a mother like we were born. And this is where the Holy Spirit takes over, and he plays a part of the male part of the conception. And there's nobody in all of mankind history that has ever was born like this. The writer Matthew lays down the foundation that Jesus is very much like us, yet at the exact same time, he's very much not like us. And so there's this old Christmas hymn, it's one of my favorite. What child is this? The Christmas carol says and asks the same question. What child is this who lay to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping, whom angels greet with anthems sweet while shepherds watch are keeping? So where do we go for answers? Well, the Bible has some answers for us. Now, we could go and ask theologians. We can go to different churches and ask, who is Jesus? And we might get a whole bunch of different answers, depending on what kind of church you go to. We can go back, and if we could go back in time, we could probably talk to people, the scribes of Jesus' time or the Pharisees, or we could even ask Herod, who was Jesus? But I think the Bible is going to give us this idea, this truth, who Jesus is. What child is this? Now, we know that the angels give us an answer. The angel Gabriel at least appears twice in the Christmas story, once to announce the birth of John the Baptist and once to Mary. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel in Luke chapter 1 to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God." And then it says here, "You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be, Mary?" asked the angel. "Since I am a virgin," the angel answered, "the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." He will be called the Son of God. And this interaction must have overwhelmed Mary. How is this possible? This is remarkable. How can this be? How can this young, humble girl be called the most, to be give birth to the Most High? And this baby will sit on the throne of his father David's, and he will reign forever. This is remarkable. I would encourage you to reread the story. Reread Luke chapter 1 and Matthew chapter 1 and continue to remind yourself of who Jesus is. Who is this baby called Jesus? There's 2,000 years have passed since this event had happened. I'm here to tell you, if this was a fable, if this was a story, the chances of this lasting this long and this accurate are slim. I believe, of course, with all my heart, that this is a true happening that happened to Mary, and this angel came and shared this news, and that he will be called the Son of God. Jesus' father is none other than Jehovah God, and Jesus is God. The second thing is that we know that first Jesus is God. What child is this? Jesus is God. Joseph's angel. Now you have to turn with me to Matthew 1:18 to see what happens there. And this is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. And because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord had appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. And we learned that last week in our message, what the name Yeshua means. It means God save us. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means what? God with us. Remember, we said it wasn't God hates us. God's angry at us. God is indifferent to us. We learned that his name means God is with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Now, there's no mention of the angel. We don't know which angel it was, and that was my thesis at college, and that's why I got not so good grade. I said who it was. But the Bible doesn't actually say, but we assume it's Gabriel because it sounds so similar. But nonetheless, the angel makes this incredible pronouncement. And I am reminded of this verse in Jonah, which we covered years ago, Jonah 2:9. But I, with shouts of grateful praise, will sacrifice to you what I have vowed I will make good. I will say salvation comes from the Lord. And Matthew says this, she will give birth to a son, and you are to give his name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. And as we learned last week, Jesus means basically, Jesus, come and save us. And so when this is happening, immediately Joseph goes and he tells Joseph the baby's name, and the angel goes on, and it took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, a virgin will conceive. So this is all happening so quickly, but it's so simple that Jesus, who is this baby? Who is Jesus now? He is God, and now he is Jesus who comes to save us. One of the challenges for us in our culture today, and it's a challenge for you, is, and we talked about boasting on the Lord, boasting on the cross. I'm not going to boast, and we learned this in Galatians. We're not going to boast about ourselves. We're not going to boast about our good works. We're going to boast on what Jesus did on the cross. But when you boast on the cross, you have to kind of out yourself. Like, why are we going to boast on this? Because I needed this. But why did you need this? Because I was lost. I was blind. I was selfish. I was a reprobate. And so when you boast on the cross, you have to admit that I needed the cross. And so one of the things I love about when we boast on the cross, it's like a two-sided coin. Not only are you boasting on the cross, but you begin to get a posture of humility, of poverty. If we learned, and blessed are those who are poor in spirit. It's a posture. Like, Lord, I can't do anything. I couldn't earn. And the Galatians were losing this truth. The church in Galatians were losing this truth. I can't do anything. Well, they were thinking maybe I could do something. And they were talking about circumcision. And so when we boast on the cross is that Jesus came to save us. And he came to save me. And he came to save you. You might be asking another question. Who is this child? What child is this? And of course, we know in the scriptures that an angel came to the shepherds. And let's read there in Luke chapter 2. Now, I made a little mistake. My printed in red, but this one came out pink, so it's a little light for my eyes. So bear with me. Luke chapter 2. Now, in those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census be taken of all the inhabited earth with... This was the first census taken with Quirinius, was governor of Syria. And everyone was there on their way to register for the census, each to his own city. Joseph also went up from the Galilee, from the city of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the family of David, in order to register along with Mary, who was engaged to him, and was with child. While they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. In the same region where there was shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night, an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord." It's interesting how he puts it, the angel, Christ the Lord. "And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was appeared with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." What is the difference? Why does it say Christ the Lord? Why does it say Christ the Lord? And you need to ask yourself that question. Usually it's the Lord's Christ, but it doesn't say that. It says Christ the Lord. I believe what's going on is we read all those passages about the birth. Mary's angelic visit announces that Jesus is God's son. Joseph's visit is announcing that Jesus is our Savior. His name is Emmanuel, who is with us, is what Joseph's angel is saying. Emmanuel, God with us. And we shared that last week. Emmanuel means God is with us, not against us. He's not hating us. He's not angry at us. He is with us. The shepherd's angelic visit announces that Jesus is Lord. And this is the thing that I want to challenge you with this morning as we think about it. We know the story. We've listened to the passages. We probably know songs with this passage. But I'm asking you, is Jesus, who we're saying, is he Emmanuel with us this day? Is he? Do we recognize that he is God's son? Do we recognize that he is come and save us? And that's why we boast on the cross. There's one more announcement that we'll see in the story, but it's a little bit later. It's in Luke chapter 3. And this is when Jesus is being baptized. And what does God say about his son? "Now, when the people were baptized, Jesus was also baptized. And while he was praying, heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him bodily form like a dove, and a voice came out of heaven, 'You are my beloved son.'" This is what God says. "You are my beloved son, in you I am well pleased." So it's just a reminder. The angels announce the truth about what child is this. And God is confirming it when Jesus gets baptized. "This is my You are my beloved son in whom I am well pleased." So this Christmas season, as you're going to be super busy, family coming and going, going to get gifts, writing cards, texting, emailing, shopping, getting your house ready or getting ready to go, I implore you to take a moment, relax, wake up a little bit early or go to bed a little bit later or not eat lunch and just begin to really meditate on who Jesus is. Who is Jesus? And we have a great opportunity this Christmas season because people might ask that question. And then you could tell them, Jesus is God. Jesus is with us. He came to save us. And Jesus, again, is affirmed by God's message when he was water baptized. So what does your testimony say about it? How is my life representing the truth of who Jesus is? And that's the challenge for us today. So the question I have for us is, does your life line up with the angels and God's message? I want to read this this Christmas carol that one day we'll sing, maybe next week or the following week. And I'm going to ask the band to come up. What child is this? And I love the songs that we sang, the Christmas carols. They're just so filled with truth. What child is this who laid to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping, whom angels greet with anthems sweet while shepherds watch or keeping? This is what the song says, and it's claiming the truth. This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste, haste to bring him laud, the babe, the son of Mary. Why lies he in such mean estate where ox and ass are feeding? Good Christians fear, for sinners hear the silent word is pleading. Nails, spears shall pierce him through. The cross be borne for me, for you. Hail, hail, the word made flesh, the babe, the son of Mary. So bring him incense, gold, and myrrh. Come peasant king to own him. The King of kings salvation brings. Let loving hearts enthrone him. Raise, raise a song on high. The virgin sings her lullaby. Joy, joy, for Christ is born, the babe, the son of Mary. Let's go ahead and stand. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness. Lord, I pray, God, that you would help us to remember who you are. You are Emmanuel, God with us. That just alone is just mind-boggling. Lord, that we don't have to climb a fence, a ladder to get to you, but Lord, you came down to be with us. You became us. Thank you, Father. Lord, you came to save us because we needed saving. Thank you, Lord. I pray this Christmas season we would be more aware of what you did on the cross for us, for me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you as reaffirmed by calling your son, whom you were well pleased. Thank you, Father. Lord, I pray, God, that you would help us this Christmas season to share the good news. And it is good news. There are people all around here who are a slave to their sin, that need to escape that life, but only comes through Jesus. I pray, God, that you would help us this Christmas season. Lord, help us as we wrap up this service today to remember who you are and that you are good. And then we're going to sing here in a second. What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Let's go ahead and sing.
We want to thank you for listening. We pray that you were blessed and encouraged. If you like what you heard today, subscribe to this podcast and listen whenever you like. To find out more about Mosaic Church, please visit www.mosaicchurchtlh.com.